Now, professional football clubs of the modern era have huge teams of people whose roles in different ways are to get the best out of players, coaches, physios, nutritionists, many more besides. Each player's different, though, I guess, and some are motivated to seek further ways to maximise their performance, which is perhaps where performance coaches come in. Now, Rob Blackburn, well, he's worked with many, many top-level players, including Sunderland's Luke O'Neill, and I'm delighted to say that Rob has joined us now just to give us a little bit of an insight into what he does. Evening, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. You all right? How are you doing?
Rob.
Very well, Rob. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. Now, you have written a manual for footballers, haven't you, called Smarter, Not Harder, which indicates, I guess, that the mental side of football is what you really focus on.
Yeah, I love it. It's the missing link, I think, in football. I think most players, and this even goes back to Luke, when times get hard, they grind and grind and grind, but they don't work smart. So it's about giving them the key to the mindset. And I never had that when I was younger, either when I was playing football. No one ever taught me it. You're supposed to learn it on your own. And I think it's a missing link. So I'm trying to help players, and especially younger players as well, try and get a handle on this before they get older. Because what I see is most pros come to me when they're older and they go, oh, I wish I did this earlier. So that's why I'm doing this. And this is why me and Luke as well have got a business, and we teamed up to create the Inner Game Academy to help kids with the stuff that I struggled with, he struggled with. So yeah, I love it. It's amazing. I love talking about it. You could probably have me on here for about 10 hours and I'll keep talking. So I'm gonna keep quiet.
Well, just give us a bit of an insight into what the sort of fundamentals are of your brand of coaching when it comes to footballers in particular, because I know you go beyond football as well.
Yeah, I like to be a little bit different. I think footballers are a little bit different. I don't like just doing one-on-ones. I like connecting players with different mentors. I think you should have different mentors. Like, for example, if they're getting coached with me, I like to bring other people on so they can coach them. I like to get them doing journaling, courses that they can go through, doing challenges. Like, one of the challenges we do is, and that's silly, but it's, for example, just going into a coffee shop and asking for 20% off. And you realise the fear and judgment, and then you have them stories that build up and you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when you do it, it's actually on the other side of that, that you build confidence. Because most players come to me and they say they want confidence, they want more confidence. I'm like, well, confidence starts with having courage first, and it's going towards the big fears that there are in football. Steve would know it. Failure, judgment, criticism, the unknown, their expectations, others' expectations of them, all these fears that come in. And I hear it, and every time I speak to a player, that they struggle with all these massive fears. But when they learn to harness them and make them work for them, then their performance gets better. But it's not just about performance on the pitch. I believe it's about off the pitch too. And it's being a better dad, being a better partner, learning to handle the obstacles and adversities that come your way, which happens in life and football, right? So it's kind of working, as I said in the book, Smarter, Not Harder.
Yeah.
Harder would be just working on the football aspect, but I think there's different aspects you can go into. That's why I work with managers.
So it's not just a case of you're either confident as a personality or you're not. You can actually learn to be confident then, Rob.
Yeah, I think so. So it's a really weird paradox. So confidence can actually come from being okay with failing, and people don't realize that. So there's different ways of confidence. So in football, most people in football rely on something, it's called temporary confidence. So scoring goals, if it was me, my manager used to go before I went out, clean sheet today, Rob. And I'd be like, oh, I need to keep a clean sheet. And after a minute, obviously I conceded a goal. And I was like, damn, like that, I've ruined it.
That's that done.
So you can build something called resilience confidence. So you build confidence by going through adversity, and we call it stacking evidence in your favor. So people want to rip your confidence down and tear it away. I believe in building your confidence up from the floor up and then protecting it. Simple things like just writing down your wins every day. If you have a bad game, like you can write about and go, okay, what actually did I do well today? Because when the people say they had a bad game, it's not actually a bad game. It's probably one bad moment. You could do nine things. So for example, a goalkeeper I work with at the weekend, man of the match, 9.5 minute cross comes in, misjudges it, goal. He's had an unbelievable game. So it's actually going, okay, how can I learn from that? So, example on that, me and Luke had a call today with the youngsters in the game academy, and he was going through his clips from the Everton game and going, well, look what I did here. This is a mistake I made against Ipswich. He calls it doing the work early. So he teaches, he goes through his mistakes, and as he goes through his mistakes, it's actually an opportunity to learn and an opportunity to make sure that doesn't happen next time. So example, the mistake he went through earlier against Ipswich, I don't know if you remember, it's the first game of the season, a few years ago, and he didn't start running early, but he hasn't conceded a goal like that since.
Because of
that moment. But so sometimes we say, oh, I've made a mistake, this is bad. It's actually, okay, how can that make you better? So it's changing your question.
From that goalkeeper's point of view that you were talking about there, he can gain confidence from the fact that he had a worldie of a game up until that point. And then also say, and on top of that, I've also had a great learning experience.
Yeah, so it's going afterwards, after the emotions of the game, and kind of sitting down and go, okay, what did I do well? What didn't go so well? What would I do next time? What's positive about that? And then for footballers, I think this is massive. And I said, Steve would have better. It's a lot of it's about acceptance, accepting that you're going to make mistakes, you're going to mess up, you're human. But what we do, and especially in football, you don't expect to make mistakes, you don't expect to fail, you don't expect. So you try and avoid it, and then you do it more. It's really weird. So,
Stephen, sorry to interrupt, but I just think we've got limited time. I know we probably could, Rob, talk a lot longer. And maybe we can get you back on again at some point and do a kind of, you know, whole hour talking about this, because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, no worries. I
just wanted to see if Steve wanted to chip in there with anything, any observations or questions, Steve, from what you've heard Rob saying so far.
I think for me personally, it was always early doors trying to accept the fact that I will make mistakes. Because everybody does make mistakes. The one that I used to worry about was, I used to kind of go, I've made a mistake. And I would go, well, you've made a mistake. You can't do anything about it. It's gone. But what I worry about is people see me make a mistake, and then therefore they would have judgment on me just because I've made a mistake, even though they know I'm a good player and relatively kind of consistent. But on that one game, I might have made one mistake, and I played really well, but I've made that one mistake. And then you'd be thinking, well, they'll not be able to forgive me for that because I've made that mistake. But it was always about just trying to accept it by, listen, I can't control what he or she thinks about me. I've just got to be able to control what I can do.
Yeah, it's that you're 100% exactly right. It's the judgment and worrying about the judgment about what everyone else thinks.
Yeah.
But what I like to do is, for players, for example, I'm like, if it's actually not them thinking it, it's you thinking it.
Yeah.
It's your thinking it. So why are you worried about what they're thinking when what you're thinking anyway? So if they're thinking it, you're thinking about it anyway. And I always think that we're our own worst critics and judges of ourselves anyway. And no one will, for example, for me and the things that I do, no one will criticize me and judge me as much as I judge and criticize myself in the things that I do. And then the same with footballers. No one will criticize, and I hear it because they tell me the criticisms and the judgment. But the paradox a little bit is, like, so for players, when they come and work with me, they go, I say, where do you want to get to? And they always say Premier League. I want to get to international level, but they got a fear of judgment. I'm actually say, well, don't you need to be judged more, not less? So you need eyes on you. So you need to head towards judgment, not away from it. And it's just a little way of looking at it a little bit differently. So we actually head towards failure, because the more you fail, the more successful you are, the more we get judged, right? The higher we go, the more we get judged, the more we get criticized. That actually means we're doing all right. So for example, I've written this book and people will read it, and some people won't like it, and they criticize and they judge, and that's okay. Because some people will like it, some people won't. you can't control others' views of you. You just got to let them have their views. It's really tough. It's not. It's easier said than done. Obviously,
yeah, no, I know. I mean, we get plenty of messages that come into this show with people that don't particularly appreciate what we do sometimes. And so, yeah,
I appreciate taking those
messages on board. And yeah, there are ways of being resilient to that, and actually, again, using it to learn to an extent as well. Kieran, anything you wanted to put to Rob as well?
No, I mean, I think so much of it stems from the idea of making marginal gains in personal development. And I know that it's not mandatory at all clubs for players to embrace this, but I think if Rob's going to work with anyone as a positive example of making those gains and trying to gain 1% here and 2% there, then Luca 9, as I've said in the show before, is arguably amongst the best to showcase what it can be done.
How do you find it working with Luke, Rob?
I don't say this lightly, he is one of the world's best people in life as a human. He just wants to learn constantly. He wants to get feedback. I've been working with him for about 5 years now. And then we joined together and created a business out of it, helping youngsters. He's brilliant. He challenges me. So even though I help him, he challenges me as well, and he makes me become a better coach because he's so on it all the time. There's only a few players that I say have got that, you know, the X factor when it comes to he's got that. He's always willing to learn. He will constantly look for feedback. You said about the 1%. He will get them 1% anywhere. He watches his games back with a coach, and he goes through all his games, hit positioning, the small, like the saying is, the differences in the details, and his details are unbelievable. He is a great person. I know there's a lot of Newcastle fans on it now, but on the pitch, he plays on the edge, but off the pitch, he's one of the world's best people, and I love it. And we've become really good. We've become best mates. So I go around his house, stay around there. Yeah, great, great player. He challenges me every day.
Well, hopefully we're going to get him on the show at some point as well. I'm fascinated to hear more from yourself as well at some point, Rob. We need to move on.
Cheers,
now,
Rob.
But thanks.
No worries. Thank you so much
for coming on the programme this evening. It's probably raised further questions because, as you said at the beginning of the conversation, there's a lot to talk about. So thanks at least for giving us a bit of a taste of what you do.
No worries. I've got a competition as well. Is it right to say where you can get the book from?
You can say where you can get the book from. I'll let you do that. Yes, go on.
Yeah, so if you go to www.smartnotharderbook.com, there's a link on there. You can get the book from Amazon, and we're giving away, so me and Luke are giving away our course for free as well, if you get it.
Okay.
Then
we can't really endorse sort
stuff.
Of competitions and stuff that you're doing, but we can say
no worries.
People can find out information there anyway. And good luck with it. Thanks for speaking to us, Rob.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
cheers, guys.
Cheers. That's Rob Blackburn, who is a performance coach, been working with Luca 9, worked with plenty of others as well. And he's written this manual for footballers, Smarter, Not Harder, it is called. Right then, we're going to catch up with Razor shortly. Find out